Okay, welcome everyone. It is Monday, February 1st, and this is Confession of Faith, Week 5. I am pretty sure I have not done any of these live so far. I might have done one of them live, but anyway, we're going live today. And the confession this week is the mystery of godliness from 1 Timothy 3 in verse 16. I'll pray for us, and then we'll look at the verse, confessing the mystery of godliness. Father, we thank you for all that you've given us in these difficult times. I pray you would give us comfort in Christ, rest in Christ, and guidance and wisdom through your word. And I pray you bless us through our time in your word right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, just very quickly, a plug for this weekly Confession of Faith ministry that I post on Mondays, and then the weekly online catechism ministry, which is very similar in terms of the structure of it, short videos with accompanying resources. These are weekly ministries for your personal discipleship or for you to use with your family, or for you to use in a small group setting. And the key word that I've been using week after week is springboard. These are meant to be a springboard for you toward prayer, toward Bible study, toward Bible discussion with others that's encouraging and edifying. So these are for you to use. They're meant to be practical tools for your spiritual growth. Okay, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16 is the confession. So I'll read that, and then I do want to scroll up and look quickly at verse 15 to get a little bit of the context. The movement or the overall structure is very similar to Philippians chapter 2, where the confession is about the work of Christ, the person and the work of Christ. But if you look up right above it, the context is discipleship. And of course, there's a really important seed of truth in there that looking to Christ in faith is the way we grow in our discipleship. Okay, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, that's Jesus. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. Now I'll read that again, just to give you time to let the phrases and the words sink in and meditate on these phrases. See if you can spot what the essence of this passage is. So if you were to lead a small group or lead your family through a devotional in this passage, how would you sum it up? How would you make it understandable to a 5-year-old, to a 10-year-old? Here we go. Ready? 1 Timothy 3:16. Great indeed we confess is the mystery of godliness. There's what Paul is leading us in. A confession of faith, specifically the mystery of godliness. Here we go. He, Jesus, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Okay, we will circle back to that. Go to the beginning of 16. We confess, obviously, this is why I chose it for this series on Confession of Faith, the mystery of godliness. Mystery, biblically speaking, is not something that is mysterious to the point where we don't understand it and we have to figure it out. Rather, it simply means something that formerly we did not know, but now God has revealed it. We used to not know it, but now God has given us the knowledge of it. And in the fullness of time, God has revealed himself through his Son. His revelation through his Son is the key to godliness. That's the gist of what he's saying here. The mystery of godliness, the revelation of true godliness, is to be found in Christ. Let me scroll up. I said I would do that to show us that the context here is discipleship, Christian living. I almost feel redundant, pointlessly redundant, saying that in every passage of Scripture, because in one way or another, every passage of Scripture has that context. Verse 14, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that, if I delay, that you may know how one ought to behave. There it is, behavior. He's writing these things so Timothy and other Christians there in the church would know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of truth. And in that context of wanting them to know how to behave as Christians, how do you behave in the church of the living God, the pillar and buttress of truth, he goes right here to the heart of it. If we don't get this right, if this isn't at the foundation of our approach to how we ought to behave, we're already on the wrong path. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. All right, let's talk just a little bit about this, the actual confession itself, and then we'll be through. So one good way to begin understanding this is to try to visualize three couplets. One couplet is here. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit. The second one will be here. We'll leave this one white with no highlighter. Seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations. So these are, well, they're too small to be stanzas. You can call them that if you want. But there's a series of three of them. And the focus is the work of Christ. So we'll just go one at a time. He was manifested in the flesh. What does that refer to? It's referring to Christ's earthly ministry. It's talking about the eternal Son of God became a man, and he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he fulfilled the law by being perfectly obedient. He was manifested. He was made known in the flesh. And he was vindicated by the Spirit. So that happened after he was done his earthly ministry. What's the climax of Christ being manifested in the flesh? This is death on a cross, right? He fulfilled his work. He laid down his life as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of his people. He declared, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was vindicated by the Spirit, okay? So this is the work of Christ encapsulated in one couplet. He was manifest in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit. And in other passages, we hear of the work of Christ as his suffering and his glory. He suffered unto glory. He suffered in the flesh, and he was risen and ascended into glory. So, mystery of godliness, we've got to get the work of Christ down, and we have to understand it in its broadest terms. What did the eternal Son of God do? He came as a man to be our mediator, lived a righteous life, died a sacrificial death, was buried, yet was risen victorious, vindicated by the Spirit, that vindicated that he truly is who he said he was, and that he really could do what he said he could do. Take away sins, represent the Father. And on and on and on. He was manifest in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit. If we want to progress in our behavior in the household of God, the previous verses, that was the concern. We want to progress in our own godliness. This is where we start. Look to Christ and what he did. And then the second couplet, he was seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations. Now that picks up on vindicated by the Spirit. He was risen and ascended, enthroned in heaven as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as our great high priest in the throne room of God. seen by angels. Okay, so that's the setting. He ascended to heaven and was enthroned, and he was seen by angels. To get a vivid picture of that, read Revelation 4 and 5 in your devotions. And you'll see that, because first you'll see the throne room of God in heaven with no one who can take the scroll and open its seals. And what that symbolizes in Revelation is to bring about God's purposes for these last days. But then you get into chapter 5, and there is someone who can take the scroll and open its seals. It's the slain lamb. And so he's seen by angels. But as he's seen by angels in heaven, as the exalted king, he's proclaimed among the nations. And so now we move from heaven to earth. And what's happening, what happens throughout history, as Christ is upon and as Christ is ascended into heaven and seen by angels and enthroned above, he's proclaimed among the nations. He's made known among the nations. And now in the last couplet, picks up on that also, in a different sense. Believed on in the world, taken up into glory. Believed on in the world. Now there's different views on what's being emphasized here. If you look at the order of what's being said, just in terms of the sequence, line, you could say that he's believed on in the world now based on or because of he's being proclaimed among the nations now. Of course, we know that that's true. That is not necessarily what that's saying here. It looks to me as if he's cycling back to restate this. So it's sort of like a bookends. He was believed on in the world, parallels, he was manifested in the flesh, right? He was manifested in the flesh, and during his earthly ministry, he was believed on in the world, not by everyone. And then after that, he was taken up into glory. And so that's why I believe that this is circling back or cycling back to be a parallel with this to emphasize the work of Christ in the broad picture. He came, is manifested in the flesh, and he was believed on in the world, but then he was vindicated by the Spirit. He was taken up into glory. And it's this Christ who reigns in heavenly glory right now, being seen by angels, who's proclaimed among the nations until he returns. And so this frames out, I mean, that's such a dry way to say it. This is poetic, maybe a song even, way of expressing the mystery of godliness. So to use the illustration of a frame, this frames out our approach to godliness. But I think it does, right? If we want to know, verse 15, how we should behave in the household of God, and what should we be up to? What should we be thinking about? What should we be focused on? Christ and his work in the past, but also the fact that Christ is in heaven now, and our job is to proclaim him in the nations. Everything else you can file underneath that. So this we profess, the mystery of godliness. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit. Seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory, from which he will one day return. So, the Christian faith is historically true, and the heart of godliness is based on those historical truths of who Christ is, what Christ did, where Christ is, and what we are doing in his name on earth. And obviously, well, maybe it's not obvious, but it definitely should be said that what we're doing on earth in his name is really him doing things on earth through us in his name and for his glory and for the glory of his Father. And nothing will get done apart from his purpose and from the power of his Spirit. So the mystery of godliness is the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus to save us from our sins. It's in his name we offer this time. Amen. All right, well, God bless you. Thanks for joining. And check in next week on Sunday for week 6 of our catechism, and then next Monday, week 5 of the confession. God bless you.